Judges 18. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Now, we need leadership, don't we? We need leadership. Leadership. Maybe you are one of those leaders. Maybe you are a leader to some, but you know, I've realized everybody's got to look up to somebody. Everybody needs somebody. And so we've always got to have someone we can look to for a little hope, a little assurance, a little direction. Maybe not all the time, maybe not every day, but at some point, sometimes we all need somebody to look up to. And when there was no king, there was a vacuum. There was a void. Something was missing. There was something that, you know, everybody tried to find their place in leadership, their place, their voice to kind of bring it to the next level. Joshua was gone. Remember that Joshua had led the people of Israel from the time that Moses died. Joshua led them into the promised land. But while it was Joshua's task and his leadership to divide the land out to the different tribes of Israel, who had not claimed, had not taken their claim, or had not defined their claim. Just took a long time, and some never got around to it. Judges 18 points us in that direction. The tribe of Dan had not any land of their own, had no possession of their own to call home. And so they sent 5 spies. Now, the Bible says spies. I think maybe we would maybe call them surveyors. You know, they were sent out to go find the land, find a place for us to go. I'm not saying that the term spies is wrong, but sometimes I think it means something different to us. So these 5 men went out to find land. And they began to look for land that they would like. How many of you ever bought land? Okay. And you went out there and you looked at it and you surveyed it and you said, this is going to be perfect. Or you said, this is not exactly what I want, but it's all I can afford. I'll take it. Right? So maybe you bought land. Maybe it was exactly what you wanted. Maybe it wasn't exactly what you wanted. But that's what these 5 guys are supposed to do. Now, we just talked about the 12 being sent out into from Kadesh Barnea into the promised land, coming back arguing about what they saw and what they should do. Well, now we got 5 that are going out just to find land for one tribe. Everybody on board so far? Well, they come across this place where there is a priest. It says the house of Micah. And they recognize the voice in verse 3. They recognize the voice of a Levite. Now, did they know this guy? They probably just recognize his dialect. In other words, he sounds Jewish to me. Right? When he talks, he sounds Jewish. And so they said, who are you? I said, well, I'm the priest here. Well, what do you do? Well, this guy pays me to be the priest. So he's a hireling. You all remember Jesus talked about a hireling. In other words, this is a minister who works for someone based on what? Based on getting paid. Based on whatever he wants to hear. What do you want to hear? That's what you're going to get to hear. Paul told Timothy, be careful about preachers like that. They just tickle the ears or we hire a pastor based on our scratching ears, our itching ears. We want them to say what we want to hear. How many of you want the preacher to say what you want to hear? Everybody, we all do. We all do. How many of you have ever been offended or challenged by what the preacher had to say? It might not have set just well or just right with you. So while we all want to hear what we want to hear, we are committed to hear what we need to hear, whether we... That's the way it should be. This priest, he's a hireling. He tells him whatever he wants to hear. As long as you keep the money coming in, he says, I'll just say whatever you want to say. Well, these 5 spies come to him and they say, what are you? I'm the priest. He said, well, since you're a priest, you can talk to God, right? Sure, I can talk to God what you want. He said, we want to know if we're going to be successful in our mission to go find land for our people. And it doesn't pause and say the priest prayed or the priest sought God. The priest just said, oh, it'll be fine. You'll do great. He didn't ask God. Why? Because he says what people want to hear. How many of you ever set off on a mission or a project and somebody told you it's not going to work out the way you want it to, and you got mad. See, that's not this preacher here. He doesn't tell people things that hurt their feelings. He doesn't tell people things that challenge them. He tells them whatever they want to hear. And so they said, "What?" He said, "Whatever you want to do, that's what we're going to do. However you want it to go, that's how it's going to go." Right? So far, so good. Verse number 7. By the way, that's 6 verses that we've already covered. The 5 men departed from the priest or from the house of Micah. They came to Laish, and they saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. There was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. They were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. So here is a group. What he's just described here is a people, it's already developed. It's already got everything that the people would need if they moved there. And they're dwelling securely and happily. Everything's fine. The term here, he says they live careless. We might say carefree or confident. It's not that they're necessarily reckless. They just don't. They're doing their own thing. You know, they're living life. They don't care what anybody has to say. In fact, they don't have a sheriff. They don't have a judge. They don't want anybody telling them they're doing wrong. Everybody does whatever they want to do. In the first verse, it says there was no king. Now, if you recall, when we start out this book, it says there was no king in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And this is pretty much the same. They have developed a community here where everybody does whatever they want to do. They're carefree. They have no judge, have no law. Every man is a law to himself. Now, the problem with that is that what if our morals or our standards disagree? Who's left to settle it? Just us. We disagree, it's up to us to settle it. We don't have a third party. By the way, when I think I'm right, you disagree with me, what does that mean about you? It means you're wrong. By the way, every time you've disagreed with me, you thought you were right too, didn't you? Me wrong. You see, how do we get a third party in there to referee, to work it out, if we don't have any leadership, we don't have a magistrate, a judge, a sheriff, or some neutral party to step in and say, let's hear the case and decide who's right? Because in any disagreement, there's always these 3 distinct possibilities, right? I'm wrong, you're wrong, or we're both wrong. Those are our options. If we disagree, we can't both. Got to be somebody's wrong somewhere. And so in this land, it sounds like a pretty good land. They just do what they want to do. Everybody seems to get along. Carefree. Also, it says that they were quiet and secure. How many of you, quiet and secure describes the kind of life you want? Amen. Amen. Especially by 8 o'clock at night, I want quiet. Right? Just turn it all off. Make it stop. Quiet and secure. Quiet and secure. Sounds like a good life, doesn't it? I don't like the ups and downs and the wild and the chaotic. I know some people thrive on chaos. I do not. I like peace and quiet and routine. That's what I enjoy. Quiet. I know you're all looking at me like, you're crazy. I know I'm crazy. I already knew that. You knew that too. Y'all have known me long enough to know that. But quiet and secure sounds like a great life, doesn't it? That's what we work toward. That's what we work for, quiet and secure. They found the land that's quiet and secure. Now remember why they've come to visit this town. To take it over. Brother Jerry Miller told me one time, he said, "Brother Derek, you'll never find a perfect church. If you find a perfect church, the minute you join it, you'll ruin it." It won't be perfect anymore. I don't think that was an insult. Did you notice that last phrase? Because here's the biggest problem. And the biggest point. They had no business with any man. They had isolated themselves in what they considered to be a perfect life. They had isolated themselves away from everyone. There was no trade, no migration, they had a border wall, you might say, and they didn't let anybody come in. They didn't have any of that transport, foreign commerce. They didn't have any of that. They were on their own. Again, pretty good idea to be self-sufficient. The problem is, guys, none of us are self-sufficient. As much as we want to create our own perfect utopia, where everything's perfect and we don't need anybody else. By the way, have you ever heard somebody say, I don't need anybody else? Yeah. Maybe you even said it. There comes a time we all need somebody else. God designed us to be social. God designed us to want to be in the company of others. You know, have you been blessed just by being here? I mean, before the singing started and before the preaching started, just by being with one another, weren't you already full? You said, man, I'm just so glad to be around God's people. Glad to be around my brothers and sisters in Christ and just laugh and have a good time. Just, you know, even if you're not chuckling and joking, just being around each other and feeling quiet and secure. Man, I love it. Love coming into God's house and being with brothers and sisters. And I enjoy it on the streets and out in the community with brothers and sisters in Christ. Just standing around talking and laughing and having a good time. Just being with them. Not even have to say anything. Just be around them. And it feeds my spirit. Why? Because God made us to interact, to be involved, to be connected, to network, to have community, to have communion. But these people had locked themselves away from the rest of the world. They tuned the rest of the world out. They didn't want to. You know, churches will do that and become very internal. Understand, the mission of the church is external. This right here, when we're gathered together and we're encouraging one another and we're, you know, having the lessons and the singing and the prayers and reporting our testimonies and our burdens, this is for us. When we walk out those doors, the church is supposed to go to action and reach the world with this message, with God's message, with the hope, the love, the forgiveness. That's our job. This one little time, we lock ourselves away and have a meeting. Close the door. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. Yeah, we're still doing that. And we'll lock the door. We have our own little meeting. And then on Wednesday night, we come together and we have our own little meeting. That's only 3 to 4 hours a week that we close out the world, and it's just about us. As soon as we break from these meetings, these gatherings, we go out there and understand it's all about Jesus and everybody else. It's not about us. And when we isolate ourselves and we lock ourselves away, guys, again, we do this a few hours a week. But then, and by the way, it's open. I don't want anybody to get the wrong understanding. You can come in, sit down. We've never turned anybody away. Run some off a few times, but never turned anybody away. I mean, the preaching did. I don't mean we actually escorted them out. But we gather. We're not isolating ourselves. It's an open meeting. But when we leave, we can't get the idea that the only people we talk to about God are these people. That the only people we share our faith and our testimony and our prayers with are these people. No, we go out into the world. We're supposed to not be isolated. We're supposed to be integrated. We're supposed to be involved with people. Showing people the way of God. But the people at Laish had locked the world away. These five guys came around. They saw what was going on. They said, hey, this looks like a pretty good place. They went back to their people. And they said, we found a great place. And they don't have any friends. They don't have any associations. It's just them. It'll be to conquer them. Let me express you what the devil knows. When we lock ourselves away from the rest of the world, we isolate from our family. Ladies, don't ever let some man isolate you from your family. Men, don't ever let some woman isolate you from your... When they start talking bad about your family, run them off. That wasn't louder than that. I figured it'd be louder than that. Because people do that for one reason, to isolate you from your family. Your family may be dysfunctional, that's fine. But if you come to a partner that starts talking badly or poorly about your family, it's time to start questioning some things. All right, anyway. Don't isolate yourself from your church, from your family. The devil knows when we withdraw, when we lock ourselves in our home or lock ourselves in our room or lock ourselves away from everybody that wants to love us, everybody that wants to help us, he knows he's got us, because then we don't have any defenders. Helpers will be easy to conquer. Think about that. Easy to conquer. Right now, right now. Do you believe that you could call on anyone in this church or at least a dozen people in this church and say, I need you right now, and they will come? How many of you believe that's true? If you don't believe that's true, why would that be? Because I can assure you, even if you don't know that, it's true. Even if you don't believe it, that's true. I know what y'all are laughing about. Sister Mary Lee had a snake in her house. And she called Lana, and Lana said, I'm not coming over there. So she called me. I have pictures. Oh, what a church, huh? It wasn't that one that's lost in your neighborhood. I might have driven slow if I'd have heard about that one. They went and they got there. Their army, and they said, look, we can beat them. They're all by themselves. They got no defenders. They've isolated themselves. Let's go get them. On their way back, they stopped by the house. And they said to that priest, hey, priest, come with us. Because wouldn't you make more money if you had more people to serve? He said, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Let me go. And so he took all the stuff from the temple where he was serving with that one man, and he went with them. And by the way, Micah said, hey, where are you taking my priest? They said, don't mess with me. So he went home. They got to Laish, and guess what? They conquered them. Why? Because they had closed themselves off from everybody else. Listen, we've got a lot of people right now who are not attending church because of the pandemic. A lot. But they could still call on anybody in this church. And they have family because they are connected. They've not locked themselves away. They've not isolated themselves because they don't want to be involved. They've isolated themselves for health reasons. But they could still call on anybody in this church. And I know that you would respond the same way as if they were able to be here every service. I know that because I've seen it. Don't isolate yourself from the world. Guys, people help each other. God designed us to help each other. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about this. There are things that you can't get right in your own life, but you can help other people in theirs. You know why that is? Because God designed us to serve others. By the way, he also designed us to let others serve us. Jesus washed the feet. Why? To show the apostles that he was a servant. You see, sometimes we are to serve, and sometimes we need to be served or to be ministered to. Serve may be a bad term for that. They got there, verse number 28. There was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon. In other words, they were excluded or exclusive in their location. And they had no business with any man. They had isolated themselves. And I'm begging you today, don't do that. If you can't mingle, you can still communicate. You can still reach out, and we're in constant communication with our brothers and sisters that aren't able to be here. But don't isolate yourself. By the way, there are some people who aren't here today, not because of a pandemic, just because they don't want to be here. What have they done? They've isolated themselves. And I'm sorry that's the case. Because the time will come, they will need help. Think about that in your relationships with your children and with your spouse and with your parents and with all those around you. I know that they've been wrong. I've been wrong. You've been wrong. But let's not shut people out of our lives because they make a mistake. Because we need people. Yes, we need God. Yes, we need the church. But the biggest mistake we could make is to isolate ourselves and think we are self-sufficient. Because let me assure you of this, you can't get to heaven by yourself. Jesus paid the price. He made the way. You say, well, I can do it by myself. I'm a good person. I do good things. I help people. None of that's going to get you to heaven. There's one thing that's going to get us to heaven. And that's when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. And when we pray and ask God's forgiveness with our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, He washes our sins away. He writes our name in the book of life. He saves our soul. And He brings us into His family. He makes us His own. And He loves us through all of our mistakes. He loves us even in spite of our sin. In spite of ourselves, we cannot make it on our own. And if you think you will, I hope you'll look back at this chapter and see that when you isolate yourself, you're just asking for trouble. Let's stand. Father, we do love You. When we look at this town, this village, yeah, they had found a pretty good life. They were quiet and secure. Things were pretty good. But they didn't realize that they needed a defender. They needed someone bigger than them. God, in that same light, we need You. We need Jesus. We need Your direction. We need Your leadership. We need Your guidance. As much as we want to be self-sufficient, we need You. And I pray that You will draw us to You. That You will show each one of us where we fall short and how we can make, how we could do better, how we can make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. Want me to pray with you? I'd be glad to. Let's look at our lives today and see if somehow we have withdrawn and isolated ourselves, cut off people who love us and need us, want to be part of our lives. Because the truth is, they need us, and we need them. We need some relationships healed and fixed. It's going to take some effort. But it can be done. Amen. All right, glad you're here today. Anything before we're dismissed? 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock Wednesday. Happy birthday, Francis. And if there's nothing else, let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. I don't know if y'all recognize this is the gardener's niece. She's back. Spend some time with them. What a blessing she is. So glad you're here. Let's go to the Lord. Andy, would you dismiss us?